Welcome to Book Bistro, where book enthusiasts come to chat about the books they love in a warm and supportive environment. Today is Tuesday, March 19th, 2024. This is Shannon, and today I am here with Georgina, Stacy, Melissa, Natalia, Robin, and Brooke, and we are talking about books being released in April of 2024, and there are so many fabulous books coming out in April. I love when we have these big episodes where a bunch of us are able to share some of our most anticipated releases with you, but always realize that these episodes are just scratching the surface of any month's releases. So we are going to get into it. Of course, we're going to start off with the usual housekeeping information. Then Stacy will get us started, followed by me, Georgina, Brooke, Robin, Melissa, and last will be Natalia. You can find us on Facebook by searching for Book Bistro Podcast. There we have our usual Facebook page where we keep track of our Wednesday reads and also post information about the Friday episodes. We also have a Facebook listener group that you're welcome to join. And if you prefer a different type of listener group, you can contact us and ask about our WhatsApp group. Both groups are pretty small, not super high traffic, and we would love to have you. If you want to get in touch with us off of social media, you can do so by sending an email to thebookbistropodcast@gmail.com. If you're looking for our main hosting page, where you can find information on the podcatchers that make Book Bistro available to you, you can find that information in our show notes.
So it will surprise no one who's known me for a long time that the first book I'm going to talk about this evening is the latest offering in J.R. Ward's Black Dagger Brotherhood series. It is The Beloved, and it's book 22 of the Black Dagger Brotherhood series, again by J.R. Ward. And it's really hard for me to know what to say about a book that's 22 books into a long-running series. I mean, I think the first book came out in like 2005. I've been following it since 2009. And so I will simply say that if you haven't read the Black Dagger Brotherhood series, you should start at the beginning. This is not a series you can jump around in. And I am not someone who respects reading books in order, typically, unless I really need to. And this is one that should be read in order. So the first book in the series is Dark Lover, all the way back at the beginning. But now we're going to jump ahead 22 books to The Beloved. And we're not just jumping ahead to the next book in the series. We're jumping ahead in the timeline here. 20-some years have passed since the last installment. But because these are vampires, it's fine. It's good. It's totally fine. And their war with the Lessening Society is going on and is just as brutal as ever. And this book focuses on the daughter of one of the original Black Dagger Brotherhood stories, Lover Awakened, which is book 3, about Zadist and Bella. And this book is about their daughter, Nala. Nala is now an adult, and she's been very protected from the war with the Lessening Society and sheltered from the world, which I think might make her a little bit of a brat. And she's chafing a bit at her sheltered life and decides to kind of go out into the world on her own, where she runs into Nate, who is one of the fighters. And Nate is not trusted by the Black Dagger Brotherhood for reasons that I'm not going to get into right now because it would ruin some plot points in earlier books. And Nate and Nala begin to fight side by side. But there are things that Nala does not know about Nate, deals that he's made in order to kind of reverse a situation that he found himself in a number of years ago. And I realize like that is the stupidest description of a book in the history of ever, but I am not going to give spoilers, and it's really hard to talk about the 22nd book in a, beloved ha 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 series without, yeah, that was, I thought that was kind of clever, without giving away any spoilers. So I will simply say this is my favorite paranormal romance series of all time. It's about very sexy, often tortured vampires and those who love them. It has some romantic suspense elements because of the war that they are fighting with the Lessening Society, a group of horrifying individuals who wants to vanquish the vampire race for all eternity. And I don't know what's going to happen because, like I said, we've kind of skipped ahead to a new phase of this war, and we're gonna be introduced to some new characters. And so, all I will say is I cannot wait to read about Nate and Nala. And if you are excited about this book, you have a couple weeks. You could start with Dark Lover, and you could do an amazing binge of a 22 book series that spans a lot of time and just with some really great, great epic stories. And I'm jealous if you haven't read it yet and plan to. But this is The Beloved. It's the Black Dagger Brotherhood, book 22 by J.R. Ward. And it is going to come into the world on April 9th. I can't wait.
Oh, not too long now.
Not too long, not too long.
So my first book, unfortunately, doesn't come out until April 30th. But this is Truly, Madly, Deeply by Alexandria Bell Fleur, who I really, really like, and have for a number of years since her debut came out, which was Written in the Stars. But this one is about Truly, who is a romance author. But even though she's an expert in sort of the fictional happily ever afters, she feels like an imposter in her real life because she is incredibly unlucky in love. Also, her parents have just announced that after years of marriage, they are separating. And so there's a piece of her that really is doubting that love is a thing. Like it's fine in books, but not in real life. But now she has been offered a chance to record a podcast where she is giving relationship advice, basically. So she meets her co-host, who is this divorce attorney named Colin. And the first time they meet, they kind of butt heads, Truly ends up walking out and saying, this is crap, I'm not going to do this. He tracks her down a couple days later and begs for kind of a do-over. So now they have decided that they're going to try to make this work. They each think that there's something, they can get out of this podcast. So they're going to do their best to get along, make the podcast a success. So they end up becoming friends and then, maybe a little bit more, I'm guessing, since this is a romance. And Truly is pretty surprised that she and Colin have quite a few things in common, one of them being their shared identity as queer. So they start to build this relationship. And in the back of her mind, Truly is always wondering, if this is the real thing or if it's just like a fluke, if it's going to come crashing down around her sometime soon. So that's what we, of course, get to find out. Is this the kind of love that exists in her romance novels, or is it likely to just come tumbling down? I am very excited for this. I'm sorry that it doesn't come out until the end of April, but the 30th will get here eventually. So this is Truly, Madly, Deeply by Alexandria Bell Fleur.
And now I will be singing the Savage Garden song,
Oh
I
yes, I
think,
thought
which
of the
was called
Savage
that.
Garden song too. Yes.
I'll be singing it all night now. Thank you. And
Oh, you're
every time I see
welcome.
this title for the next however many weeks, I'm going to sing it again. So thanks. And
No problem.
this looks delightful. I love enemies to lovers. So
My first book of the evening is The Summer We Started Over by Nancy Thayer, which comes out April 23rd. This is of two sisters, the Grant sisters. And Eddie lives in Manhattan. And her sister, she, well, I'm sorry, Hume. Eddie lives in Manhattan working for a very famous author. And it doesn't thrill her as it did in the beginning. And so Eddie decides to go back to Nantucket, where her sister is opening a gift shop. And Eddie left Nantucket because her brother had died, and she couldn't deal with her own grief, much less the whole family's grief and the way it left them. And so she escapes to Manhattan. And in this shop that her sister is opening, when Eddie comes to visit, she sees that her father is really struggling and living a hoarder's life by having all these books. The sisters decide to open up a bookshop as well as the gift shop. And these two sisters have to navigate family secrets that Eddie left behind when she ran from her grief. She also has to deal with a past love, which is kind of weird for her considering it happened so many years ago. This is The Summer We Started Over by Nancy Thayer, which comes out April 23rd.
I have never read a Nancy Thayer.
So my first book this evening, or I guess today, sorry, is Late Bloomer by Maisie Eddings, and it comes out on April 16th. So our main character, its name is Opal, and she wins the lottery. And
Oh.
when that happens, she quits her job, which is like a dead-end job where so she doesn't get paid much, and she really didn't get respected. So she didn't see the point of keeping that job. So now that everyone in her small town, I assume it's a small town, know that she's got all this money, they're coming to her door. And Opal is like a very kind person, and she always feels bad saying no. So she can't say no. So she keeps, after a while, she just kind of gets to the point where she's like, this is really hard on me, and I need to say no at some point, and people are kind of just using me, so I'm gonna do something. So what she does is she buys a struggling flower farm in North Carolina, and she's decided that she's going to buy this farm and let the flowers do their flowery thing while she uses the cabin on the property to start her painting business. So she goes off to check out to go move to this farm, and she meets Pepper. And Pepper believes that she is the rightful owner of this farm. And right away, Opal is attracted, but she's also confused. Like, she doesn't understand why Pepper thinks that she should own this place. So they decide to make an arrangement where they will cohabitate. And while doing this, they're like fighting back and like kind of arguing back and forth about every little thing about the farm. And at the same time, they're kind of getting to know each other better. So the way that our synopsis wraps up is pretty much right there and just says that will they be able to kind of work through their problems and be able to make roots, or are they gonna like cause everything to just kind of burn down? So this is Late Bloomer, and it's by Maisie Eddings, and it comes out on April 16th.
I'm excited for this. I think this is her first sort of like queer romance. So I am looking forward to this.
My first book is something that is a bit of a rarity here on Book Bistro. This is a nonfiction book, and I appreciate Shannon allowing me to talk about this because I am so excited for this book. This is Disability Intimacy, Essays on Love, Care, and Desire, edited by Alice Wong, And this comes out on April 30th. And this is a follow-up to a previous anthology Alice Wong edited called Disability Visibility, which, if you haven't read it, I strongly recommend. This book asks the question, what is intimacy? It is more than sex, more than romantic love, and more than any of the ways that we generally think of how it works to be intimate with another person. These essays explore caregiving, community, access, and friendship, and they offer us alternative ways of thinking about connections we form with others, particularly in a time when we are forced to observe physical distance from each other for our own health and safety. But don't worry, we are assured there's still sex to consider and the numerous ways sexual liberation intersects with disability justice. Ooh, that gives me chills. I'm really excited. Okay, this line in the synopsis is hilarious, so I have to read it verbatim. Plunge between these pages, and you'll also find disabled sexual discovery, disabled love stories, and disabled joy. I'm amused by the use of the verb plunge.
Plunge.
Indeed. There are 25 essays in this book, plus the some reprints. So those are 25 new, never before published essays, plus some classics on the subject.
Ooh.
Yes. So I'm just really excited. We will have essays, poetry, drama, and erotica, a full spectrum of dreams, fantasies, and deeply personal realities. This is going to be amazing. I've had it pre-ordered for months, and I never thought April would make it. We would make it till April. So, once again, that is Disability Intimacy, Essays on Love, Care, and Desire, edited by Alice Wong, and it comes out on April 30th.
I read Disability Visibility either toward the beginning of last year or at the end of 2022, and I really, really loved it. I think it had so many awesome, thought-provoking perspectives, and so I am also looking forward to this.
My first book is entitled Home is Where the Bodies Are by Geneva Rose, and it comes out on April 30th. So let's start the story at looking at the three siblings. Period. Beth is the oldest. She stayed home with their mom and took care of her. Nicole is the middle child, and she's very troubled. She's also a drug addict. Then there's Michael, who left and didn't come home for 7 years until now, and he is the youngest and the only son. So their mom has passed away, and their dad disappeared years ago. So they're going through their parent belongings, and they're figuring out who should have what, etc., etc. And then they find a bunch of home videos, which they decide to watch. And as they're going through these videos, they come across a video that is marked 1999. So they put the video in, and it's short, but it's of a night none of them remember. In the video, their father appears, covered in blood, there's a dead body, and mom looks fine, but they all are making a pact, meaning mom and dad, to not talk about it or anything, and let's keep the secret. Then the video ends, and suddenly the three siblings are wondering, what night was that? Where were we? And should we try to figure out what happened? Basically, they see that their mother has taken this secret to her grave. And now they also have to decide whether to either have a, let's just let it go and be in the past, or should they investigate it? That is, Home is Where the Bodies Are by Geneva Rose, and it is coming out on April 30th.
The first book I'm looking forward to for the month of April is by an author who I feel like I've waited forever to write her next novel. And I love the book she writes because she writes books about things that are very familiar to me and things that I don't usually read about in the English language, at least, and books that take place in Miami. I'm always curious about to see how accurate they are. And now she's accurate with these. And of course, the title is just cool because I live close to a house on Biscayne Bay. I'm sure there are many, but the title of this novel is The House on Biscayne Bay by Chanel Cleeton. And this book is about a gothic mansion in Miami. I'm not sure I've ever read about that or seen one outside of like Disney horror night demonstrations, but I cannot wait to read this book. So this is about the lives of two women who intertwine as the past and present collide. Beautiful, beautiful dual timeline that we know and love if we've read this author. And well, we start with a great war behind thousands of civilians who decide that they're going to go to South Florida and make a fortune. This is business moguls who also make this decision. And one of these people is wealthy industrialist Robert Barnes and his wife, Anna. And they build a glamorous estate called Marbrisa on Biscayne Bay, and they become the toast of society. And Anna and Robert appear to have it all, but in a town like Miami, appearances can be deceiving. And, well, one scandal could probably change everything. Now, years later, following the tragic death of her parents in Havana, Carmen Acosta journeys to Marbrisa to see her estranged older sister, Carolina, and her husband, Asher Wyatt. And it seems like they don't really talk very much. And on the surface, the mansion looks like it's paradise. But, well, the house has a treacherous legacy, and Carmen's own life is soon in jeopardy, unless she can unravel the secrets hiding beneath the mansion's facade and, well, stop history from repeating itself. So this is The House on Biscayne Bay. And I think it is the author's first kind of gothic mystery novel. So I'm really interested in what she will do with this. Either way, I know I will enjoy it. This book will be released on April the 9th, 2024. Cannot come soon enough, in my opinion.
So last year, my friends, I discovered this author quite by accident. And it's because I was scrolling the new releases on Audible and I saw this title that was so silly, that I laughed. I finished reading the books on that page, and then I went back to this title because it was so silly. And I had to know, like, what the hell it was about. And, you know, every once in a while, when you have curiosity, you strike gold and you find an amazing new author. And that's what happened to me with Sarah Adler. And that title, in case you were wondering, is Mrs. Nash's Ashes. And it was one of my top reads of 2023. But now, my friends, we are talking about her next release, which is called Happy Medium. And again, the author is Sarah Adler, and the book comes out, sadly, long, long from now, on April 30th. This book is about Gretchen Acorn. And Gretchen Acorn is a fraudulent spirit medium. And, right, I already, though, I think I'm going to lose Shannon here in a minute because you'll know why. You'll know why. So she's a fraudulent spirit medium, but, you know, she's nice about it. And so when her best, also known as richest client, comes to her and asks Gretchen if she could possibly help a little bit because her bridge partner's farm is haunted. And he can't sell it because there's a ghost wreaking havoc on every open house, during every open house. And so, you know, she decides she's going to help because, I mean, she could always use some extra cash. But, you know, Gretchen is quite shocked when the AARP member she's expecting turns out to be a young, hot as hell guy named Charlie. And Charlie does not, in fact, believe in Gretchen's ability to see the dead, which, you know, is like totally fair because she doesn't believe in it either. Of course, that's until she comes face to face with Everett, who is the ghost that's been haunting the farm since the 1920s.
And, okay, yes, I'm gone.
Yeah, I know. I knew you would be. But it's Sarah Adler, and she's so delightful. And so, you know, this Everett is worried that Charlie is going to soon face the same fate that he did. And he's hoping that Gretchen can help kind of reverse what's been going on. And it might be a curse. I don't actually remember if it is or not, but whatever. So that, you know, Charlie doesn't end up in the same position. And, you know, Gretchen wants to help. For the first time ever, she kind of feels like maybe, you know, maybe she could help. Maybe she could do something, you know, truly good. But the way to help apparently is by, you know, working hard and doing all these things. And Gretchen's not usually a fan of working hard, but if that's going to be what she needs to do to save Charlie, maybe that's what she's going to have to do. And like I said, Mrs. Nash's Ashes last year was one of my top reads. I enjoyed the author's voice quite a bit in the previous book, and I'm looking forward to seeing what she's going to do now with a bit of a paranormal twist. This is Happy Medium. It's by Sarah Adler, and it comes out on April 30th.
My next book is Kill Her Twice by Stacy Lee, and this comes out on April 23rd. I have talked about Stacy Lee in the past. She writes historicals. Some of them have a little bit of a mystery element. Some of them don't. This one does, in case you couldn't tell from the title. This is set in Los Angeles in 1932, and Lulu Wong, who is very famous, she's the star of the silver screen, and Chinatown worships her. But she has been found dead by three sisters in an out-of-the-way stable. So there's May, Gemma, and Peony Chow, and they were former classmates of Lulu's. And so they know that it is Lulu when they find the body. Like, there's no doubt about that. But what they don't know is how she ended up in the stable when she actually lives in Beverly Hills, which is, you know, not nearby. And the stable's a little run down and not a place that you would expect this famous person to be hanging out. Now, law enforcement is not looking into Lulu's death. They are sort of painting it as just something that happens in Chinatown, that Chinatown is dangerous. And this can sort of further the city's aim to demolish Chinatown in order to make way for a big train station that they want to build. So the sisters decide that they are the only ones who can figure out what happened to Lulu and bring her justice because they don't trust the police. They don't trust any of the city's officials. And if they want to not only find the truth, but save their neighborhood, like this is what they have to do. Stacy Lee is an incredible writer. She wrote a book dealing with the Titanic. She wrote a Western about like a female outlaw. She's just done some really amazing stuff, and I have enjoyed everything I've read by her. She gives us a different look into different points of American history and how those times in history affected people who come to America from Asia. So I am definitely looking forward to this. It is Kill Her Twice by Stacy Lee, and it comes out on April 23rd.
My second book of the evening is The Sweet Blue Distance by Sarah Donati, which comes out April
Yay!
2nd. So this is about Carrie Valentine, who is running away from her past and decides to go west. And her fellow travelers and her, they bond. Now, Carrie isn't ready for the vastness of the wilderness that she's going into. There are many setbacks, and the travelers learn to depend on each other, especially one man in particular. Carrie finds that the women who are giving birth take to her. They trust her and they ask for her. And she realizes that she really likes this work and is doing what she needs to do because, she's a nurse. And she gets attached to her employer's child, but she quickly realizes that they are keeping secrets from her. And in order to keep the child safe, she has to figure out what they're keeping, what they're not telling her. But she also has to confront her own dark past. Now, Sarah Donati is a master at what the least that you don't expect to come out and the suspense. I really love her Into the Wilderness series.
Oh,
This
yes.
is The Sweet Blue Distance by Sarah Donati, which comes out April 2nd.
I am so excited for this.
So, my next book today is The One That Got Away with Murder by Trish Lundy, and it comes out on April 16th. So, Trevor and Robbie Cressmont, they're rich, entitled, and they've gotten away with murder. Even though all of their community of Happy Valley, which makes me giggle, I'm not sure why, but it does, they believe that the Cressmont brothers are responsible for the death of two women. One was Victoria, who was a soccer star. And she was dating Trevor before she drowned. They were at the family cottage and she drowned. Then Robbie's girlfriend, she's found dead of an overdose. And so nobody can really prove. They just assume that they're pretty sure that this would happen. But because the family has so much money and like power in the community, they can't really do anything about it. So Lauren has come to their high school and she has kind of a dark past of her own. She has never been a good girl, but she ends up going out with Robbie and they create no strings attached, sorry, relationship. And while she's kind of getting to know Robbie, she starts learning things about him and realizes that stories about him and his brother that they might actually be true. And she's not really sure what to do about this. But then another woman goes, is found dead. And now she has to make the choice to kind of stand up and make the authorities aware of this, which then may bring forward her dark past, or just kind of sit back and let it all go by and hope that it goes away. So this is The One That Got Away with Murder by Trish Lundy, and it comes out on April 16th.
I think this is a debut, and I am very excited for this.
The next up, I have The Breakup Lists by Adib Karam out on April 2nd.
Oh, I'm so soon.
Really surprised that Shannon is letting me talk about this book. I figured she would take it for herself.
No, there didn't. Were many other good things, so I could be nice this time.
Okay.
Not take it for myself.
This is a young adult romantic comedy. I think it's very cool that Adib Karam writes kind of younger young adult, like his Darius the Great is not okay, and kind of older YA. I read Kiss and Tell, which I didn't think I was going to enjoy because I had no interest in boy bands, and I still don't. But it's an awesome book, so I'm expecting a lot of great from The Breakup Lists. And Karam has an adult book coming out later this year, but we're not talking about that right now. We are talking about The Breakup Lists, which is, and I quote, set in the sordid world of high school theater. So, Jackson Ghaznavi is a lot of things. A techie, a smoothie aficionado, a totally not obsessive list maker. But one thing he is not is a romantic. And why would he be? He's already had a front row seat to his parents' divorce, and he's picked up the pieces of his sister Jasmine's broken heart one too many times. No, Jackson is perfectly happy living life behind the scenes. He is a stage manager after all, and keeping his romantic exploits limited to the breakup lists he makes for Jasmine. These chronicle every flaw, real or imagined, of her various and sundry exes. Enter Liam, the senior swim captain turned leading man that neither of the Ghaznavi siblings can stop thinking about. Not that Jackson has a crush, of course. Jasmine is already setting her sights on Liam, and he's probably, no, definitely straight anyway. So why does the idea of eventually writing a breakup list for him feel so impossible? And that, my friends, is The Breakup Lists by Adib Karam, coming out on April 2nd.
That sounds good. I'll definitely be adding it to my TBR.
My question is, do we think he knows Darius?
My next book is called One of Us Knows by Alyssa Cole, and it is going to be released on April 16th, 2024. So years after a breakdown, Kenitria Nash is getting a second chance. It has been a long road for her, and she is dealing with her diagnosis of multiple personality disorder, also known as DID, dissociative identity disorder. So she is a historical preservationist. So she had this breakdown and got this diagnosis, and it all ended her career. But now she gets a second chance. So she goes to this island in the Hudson River Valley somewhere, and she's gonna start taking care of and preserving this home. Well, then the people that are part of the trust that pays and arranges for all the caretaking and the remodeling and anything that is needed come to the island. And on this group is the man who caused her to have a breakdown. Well, he gets murdered. And Ken is the prime suspect in this murder. So her and her alters. So the whole thing surrounds who killed this man, why, and is it possible that Ken did it, or was it one of her alters? That is One of Us Knows by Alyssa Cole, and it is available on April 16th.
So my next novel that I'm going to talk about for April is by Joe Piazza, and it's called The Sicilian Inheritance, and it's based on the author's own family history in Sicily. It's a mystery about family secrets that some people would kill to protect. And as I said last week, I very much enjoy family secrets, so of course this caught my attention. Now, this book is about Sarah Marsala, who barely knows who she is after the failure of not only her business, but her marriage as well. And on top of that, her beloved great aunt Rosie passes away, leaving Sarah bereft with grief. But Aunt Rosie's death also opens an escape for her, as she gives her a plane ticket to Sicily, a deed to a possibly valuable plot of land, and a bombshell family secret. Rosie believes that Sarah's great-grandmother Serafina, a matriarch that was left behind while her husband worked in America, didn't die of illness as family law had stated. She believed that the matriarch was murdered. So thus begins a twisted-filled adventure that takes Sarah all over the picturesque Italian countryside as she seeks to solve the mystery. And we also get some flashbacks into the past, so more dual timeline, yay! Meeting Serafina, who is a feisty and headstrong young woman in the 1900s, thrust into motherhood in her teens, who wanted a better life not just for herself, but for all the women in her small village. But unsurprisingly, it's not long before a woman who challenges the status quo finds herself in danger. And in present day, as Sarah discovers more about Serafina, she also realizes that she's coming head to head with the same forces that perhaps took down her grandmother. So at once we've got an immersive multi-generational mystery and of course an ode to the undaunted heroism to women of the everyday life. I expect that The Sicilian Inheritance will be a page-turning delight. I will say I have read this author before, but only as a co-author with Christine Pride for their books that they wrote, We Are Not Like Them and You Are Always Mine. Those books probably were my favorite of the year that I read them, and were books that from beginning to end I devoured. So I am pretty sure that although this is something different, the author's way of
making his or the books relatable to whoever reads them will stand. Plus, I love a good mystery and a unexpected inheritance. And of course, Italy is beautiful. Reading about it in any language, in any way, is something I'm always looking forward to. So The Sicilian Inheritance, a novel by Joe Piazza, will finally be released on April 2nd, 2024. So not too far away.
My final book of the evening is Funny Story by Emily Henry, and it comes out on April 23rd. And I just reading the synopsis has me really excited. I'm a huge Emily Henry fan, but this book is about Daphne, and Daphne really loves the way that her fiance Peter tells their sort of origin story, if you'll, tells their story. So they met on a blistery day. Wow. I really can't talk tonight, friends.
Is that like a very hot day?
I don't even know. A swollen day. They met on a blustery day and fell in love over an errant hat. And that just sounds so Britishly, like, peculiar, sort of proper. And, you know, she loved the way, and now they're living in Peter's hometown of Waning Bay, Michigan. And she's just so excited for this new chapter of her life to begin. But, you know, she loves the way that Peter tells their whole story, until the day that he realizes he's actually in love with his childhood best friend, Petra.
Oh, no.
Petra and Peter. If I were Daphne, I'd want to pop them both in the mouth. Now, Daphne is sort of cast adrift to begin this new chapter of her life in her ex's hometown, where, admittedly, she's very excited about her job. She's a children's librarian, but unfortunately, that job barely pays her bills. And so, in a moment of desperation, I should say, she turns to the one person who might really understand what she's going through. And that is Petra's ex, Miles.
Oh.
And now, she proposes that they become roommates. So Daphne and Miles are roommates, and they are polar opposites. Daphne's all buttoned up, and, you know, she keeps to herself so much at work that her coworkers kind of wonder if she's, like, in witness protection, or, you know, she works for the FBI or something. They don't know. And, you know, Miles is kind of coping with all the changes. He's sort of, like, according to the synopsis, he's scruffy and chaotic, and he kind of takes solace, like, listening to the heartbreak love ballads. So I'm picturing, like, these, like, 80s, like, wailing ballads, 80s and 90s, very dramatic diva ballads. And that's just what I'm picturing. And, you know, these two, they don't really talk much until one night they are mutually drowning their sorrows, and they kind of come up with this plan. And so, you know, they start posting on social media these kind of misleading photos of their summer adventures together. But the more they spend time together, Daphne begins to wonder if, you know, she's done something strange with this new chapter, and is she falling for her ex-fiance's new fiance's ex? That's kind of... Whoa. It took me a minute to bend my brain around that. I had to read it three times so I could make sure I could say that part right. But I'm very excited. I really do love Emily Henry's books. Last year's book felt a little bit more women's fiction to me, but anytime all the best friends were together in last year's book, I was like a sobbing, sappy mess. And I'm excited to see what she's going to do with this. I love books with small towns. I love books about Michigan. My family and I go there every summer. So, like, I'm really excited to see what she does. So this again is Funny Story. It's by Emily Henry, and it comes out on April 23rd.
I like Michigan books. They make me happy.
I know, especially like summertime Michigan
books. Yes. Yes. So my last book tonight is a little different from stuff that I usually read. This is The Cemetery of Untold Stories by Julia Alvarez. And this comes out on April 2nd. I was introduced to Alvarez's writing when I was in college, like in undergrad. I read In the Time of the Butterflies and How the Garcia Girls Lost Their Accents. And ever since then, I've just been a huge fan of this author and her storytelling. So this book is about Alma Cruz, and she's a writer. But she has some secret fears because a good friend of hers, who was a really famous novelist, struggled so hard to finish a book that she really sort of wondered about this person's sanity. And she worries that she might end up that way. She has so many drafts of things that she started, but that for whatever reason, like, just don't gel with her. And she puts them aside, starts something else, and then the something else doesn't gel either. So when she inherits a plot of land in the Dominican Republic, she decides to turn it into a literal cemetery for all of the drafts that she's created over the years. And she kind of feels like this is going to be the way that her characters can be put to rest. And that maybe all these stories running around in her head won't continue to haunt her if she lays them to rest, like in the cemetery. But what she doesn't realize is that her characters have kind of plans of their own. And they are not ready to be laid to rest. And so I'm not sure, like, how this works exactly. Like, if this becomes a little bit supernatural where, like, the characters come to life, I don't know. But somehow the characters begin to spin their own versions of these narratives, like versions that Alma never really considered. And so it sort of asks the question, whose stories are told and whose stories are buried. It's kind of a zany concept in some ways, especially since, like I said, I don't fully understand how it's going to work, but I am definitely ready to dive into this when it comes out because Alvarez is amazing. I didn't end up liking many of the books that I read in college, but Julia Alvarez was sort of the, like, treasure that I found in all of my college reading. So this is The Cemetery of Untold Stories by Julia Alvarez, and it comes out on April 2nd.
I'm very intrigued by this book. I almost put it on my list of April picks because I love the idea of figuring out what to do with characters that aren't working anymore for you and, like, laying them to rest.
My last book of the evening is Toxic Prey by John Sanford. This is book 34 of his. Let's see. This comes out April 9th. Dr. Lawrence Scott believes that the world is dying. The world is overpopulated. Things are running, infectious diseases are running rampant. And he has the highest clearances of government to work on infectious diseases, tropical diseases, things that some people can't even imagine. Well, he goes missing, and Lucas's daughter, Letty, is tasked to find him. She assembles a team and then asks Lucas to help her when he can't be found. And the government is putting all their resources, because they really do not want him going missing or kidnapped or anything, because of all the high clearances he has. So they're throwing every resource they have into finding him. The problem is it becomes a race for Lucas and Letty to find him. There is not much to this synopsis since it's a running series, sadly, but it should be good, as all John Sanford novels are. This is Toxic Prey by John Sanford, which comes out April 9th. I cannot believe we're at book 34. I was just talking to a friend of mine, and she just started the series way back.
Whoa.
And the first one of Rules of Prey.
So my last book, I'm so excited about. It's Off With Their Heads.
Yes!
By...
Oh, sorry.
No worries. I'm excited. By Zoe Hannah... Is it Makuta?
Yes.
And it comes out on April 23rd, which I'm not very happy about. I'm not very happy about that part. No, it's so long. I know. So this is a sapphic retelling of Alice in Wonderland. And it's actually, I should have said, a sapphic Korean retelling of Alice in Wonderland. And so the Saints are like these not great people, and they live in Wonderland, in this not so great place to be. It's been 5 years since Carol Rabbit and Ikadora, what's her name? Ikadora Alice Sickle. Oh, sorry, it was a bit of a mouthful. Since they were sent to live in Wonderland, even though they never did what they were accused of doing. And it was 4 years ago that the girls betrayed each other in order to try and gain freedom from Wonderland. So when that happened, Carol is now living in the city as a royal hunter, Saint Hunter. And meanwhile, Ika, that's what we call her in short. Ika is also a hunter, but she is determined to get vengeance against Carol for the lies that she told and for the betrayals that she did. And she's also determined to get vengeance on the queen and on the throne itself. So Carol works for the Red Queen, and she's kind of keeping her eyes closed and ears closed to like what truly the Red Queen is doing. She wants nothing to, she doesn't want to know what's happening in the dungeons. She's going to kind of ignore everything and pretend that she knows nothing. But Ika is not going to like let this go away. But little do the women know, but there's a magic that is kind of sweeping the world, and something is coming, and it could cause them problems as well as everyone around them. So can they like kind of get over what they need to do, or are they going to kind of take each other down, or are they going to be taken over by this magic? I'm really, 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 really excited about this because I like Alice in Wonderland, and I haven't really read any great retellings of it. So I'm really looking forward to seeing this one. So this is Off With Their Heads by Zoe Hannah Makuta, and it comes out on April 23rd.
I need this right
now. Me too. Now.
And last up for this episode, I will tell you about Death in the Spires by KJ Charles, coming out on April 11th. I would have this pre-ordered, but the audio is not listed yet. We will be getting audio, I'm almost certain, but it is not listed. For those of you who have read KJ Charles before, you should know this is not a romance. I will repeat, this is not a romance. This is a murder mystery. KJ has said she's a little bit worried that people are going to feel betrayed, that she has shifted genres for this book. But I'm guessing we're still going to get something wonderful. So I wouldn't worry too much about the lack of romance arc. Reading from the synopsis. The newspapers called us the Seven Wonders. We were a group of friends, that's all. And then Toby died, was killed, murdered, 1905. A decade after the grisly murder of Oxford student Tony Fensham, the case remains hauntingly unsolved. For Jeremy Kite, the crime not only stole his best friend, it destroyed his whole life. When an anonymous letter lands on his desk, accusing him of having killed Toby, Jem becomes obsessed with finally uncovering the truth. Jem begins to track down the people who were there that night that Toby died. A close circle of friends, once known as the Seven Wonders, for their charm and talent. Jem finds them as tormented and broken as he is. All of them knew and loved Toby at Oxford. Could one of them really be his killer? As Jem grows closer to uncovering what happened that night, his pursuer grows bolder, making increasingly terrifying attempts to silence him for good. Will exposing Toby's killer put to rest the shadows that have darkened Jem's life for so long? Or will the gruesome truth only put him in more danger? Some secrets are better left buried. Once again, yes. That is Death in the Spires by K.J. Charles. It comes out on April 11th. And once again, this is a murder mystery, not a romance.
And I do want to read it.
My last and final book is titled The Garden. And it is by Claire Beams, and it comes out on April 9th. So Irene Willard is our main character, and she's had 5 miscarriages. So she hasn't been able to carry a pregnancy to term. So she becomes pregnant again and decides to go to this retreat or commune place where the focus is on maternal instincts, maternal environment, mental and physical health. So she goes here, and it's in the middle of nowhere in a place called the Berkshires. And I can't remember if it's in New York or Massachusetts, but this husband and wife team has opened this place for that, for women who are unable to carry children or unable to get pregnant. So that's become their life's work. On the grounds, Irene has discovered a walled up garden. So she goes in there and she spends lots of time around this garden. Then something happens and the treatment plans of the doctors go awry. So Irene gets together with her fellow patients and they become very involved with the walled garden, and they all receive some kind of healing from it. Many people have declared this book to Shirley Jackson's stories and even to Rosemary's Baby, which I found very interesting. And it covers maternal environment, the whole idea of maternity. So that is The Garden by Claire Beams. B-E-A-M-S is how her last name is spelled. And it comes out on April 9th. Another interesting point is this is a retelling, or seen as a retelling, of The Secret Garden, but with more adult content.
So my next book of today will not come out until regrettably April 30th. So I'm not going to be able to get my hands on it for a very long time. But, well, it just checks all my boxes. And this is Effie Olsen's Summer Special by Rochelle Billow. And this would also be my first book read by this author. However, a book about two childhood best friends who stop speaking for an unknown reason and have to reunite in a summer to confront the ghosts that they thought were long buried as adults. Plus, one of them is a chef. Yeah, that's my catnip. Well, as usual, we've got a small town girl who never thought she was going to come back to said small town. This is Effie Olsen, and she's been working as a chef at many restaurants in many a country for 16 years. But she decided to come back to the town/island where she grew up for one summer and one summer only. It turns out that her hometown boasts one of the best restaurants in the United States. And lucky for her, they need a sous chef. Effie is eager for a chance at redemption after her last job went down in public flames, but she's reluctant to set down roots in a place that reminds her of the ghosts of her past. Until, that is, she runs into Ernie Callahan, who was her one-time best friend, who now is no longer her best friend, but works at the very same restaurant. And, well, early mornings and late night games of truth or dare reminds Effie of what she'd been missing when she was traveling the world. He knows her better than anyone, and it doesn't hurt that his smile lights her up brighter than the lighthouses dotting the craggy coastline. But Brown Butter has a secret that's bursting at the seams. And if Effie doesn't keep it, her job will disappear in the foggy main air. And once her job is coming to a close, she realizes that her second chance at her dream job and the perfect guy are within reach. But to get Effie's sweet ending, all she has to do now is let her heart lead the way. So this is Effie Olsen's Summer Special by Rochelle Billow. And as I said, it is the first novel I've read by this author. So I am very much looking forward to it because it looks like a book that I will very much enjoy. It will be released on April 30th, 2024.
Wow. That brings us to the end of this Most Anticipated Releases of April episode. Thank you all so much for being here. Stacy, Brooke, Robin, Melissa, Natalia, and Georgina. And of course, thank you so much to Christine for all of your fantastic editing. We appreciate it, especially in these big, more complex episodes. And as I always say, we wouldn't have a podcast if people didn't listen to it. So thank you so much to all of you who join us each week as we talk about great books.
If you would like to let us know your thoughts, You can do that by leaving us a rating or a review on Apple Podcasts or any other platform you use to access the show. And not only does it allow us to see your feedback, but it also helps other book lovers to find us, which is a great thing. So I will be back next Tuesday morning with more bookish fabulousness. And some number of us will be back on Friday with more discussion of great books. Take care, everybody.